This is Jay Sekulow, a showdown with North Korea.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You look at this intercontinental ballistic missile launch, that's what North Korea claims it has achieved here for the first time. According to the United States, North Korea also claims it is capable of delivering nuclear warheads. That is a North Korean claim that the government there has making. The U.S. Pacific Command says it tracked the missile for 37 minutes and then it landed in the Sea of Japan.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed. Many years and it's failed. And frankly, that patience is over.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Well, the news, of course, this weekend is the situation has escalated with North Korea. The president saying the time for strategic patience is over. You've had a intercontinental ballistic missile test that went almost 700 miles into the Sea of Japan. That's a missile capable of reaching Alaska. The interesting comments now coming out from the Combined Statement on Alliance Response. Let me read you this quote from General Brooks. Self-restraint, which is a choice, is all that separates armistice and war. As this alliance missile live fire shows, we're able to change our choice when so ordered by our alliance national leaders. It would be a grave mistake for anyone to believe anything to the contrary. The headline in the Wall Street Journal is, the U.S. tells North Korea it's prepared to go to war. This is a very strategic time and a very strategic situation developing, Jordan, right now.
Yeah, I mean, these are not, kind of in comparison to what's happening in Syria, where you cannot just look at this as North Korea and the United States. If North Korea was isolated in it, let's say it was, you know, an isolated area that did not border China, Russia, and South Korea, you could take stronger military action immediately. But right now, any kind of action you take, first of all, we've got thousands of troops right in firing distance of North Korean artillery. Seoul, South Korea, a major international capital, millions of people that would be in range of just small artillery fire. So if you take any kind of direct action, you're not just putting your own troops in harm's way. It's not the U.S. and North Korea. You've got the Russians, the Chinese, and of course, then South Korea, which would be the target of North
now,
Korean aggression.
The president sent out via Twitter that basically the Chinese have not helped here. So much for the Chinese assistance on this is basically what he said.
Well, I mean, the Chinese are the reason why this leadership in North Korea, the people are already starving there. You know, the people are treated horribly. But they have bought into this kind of ideology.
Almost like a deity. They view him as a deity.
I mean, remember, there are enough millions of people there, including a military, who is pretty mistreated. I mean, you look at them, they look malnourished, even the military, even their special forces, and they don't overthrow the government because they bought into the idea of this as being a god-like figure for decades, this family.
Intergenerationally.
Yeah, for three now. Right. And because of that, how do you starve out the regime?
Not so the people. So we're talking about starving out the regime. Because the people are starving, it is. But how do you starve out the regime? What's the penalty for the regime for the actions they're taking?
Yeah, so he's not able to eat, you know, fine meats and liqueurs every day and have whatever he wants in the world because of the Chinese. It all operates through China in relationships with Russia. But it's primarily China propping up the economy. That may work when North Korea is not being aggressive.
They're aggressive, not so much.
But no, it doesn't, because that's the reason why they even have the money to test intercontinental ballistic missiles.
It's because of the Chinese. So we have to understand that what's going on here. We're going to be joined by our two senior military analysts. And by the way, Colonel Skip Ash was based in Korea, so he will be able to give us some firsthand impressions of what can and cannot be done in that regard. And Logan, we'll take calls and comments. What do you think, folks? We want your reaction to the situation with China. 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us on live video on Facebook and Periscope. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. You can also watch us at aclj.org, but we want your feedback. You can also get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the show. Well, once again, five lines are currently open. We just opened them up. They're already filling up. Get in fast. 1-800-684-3110.
Also, when we come back a little bit later in the broadcast, I'm going to talk about the situation involving the baby Charlie Gard and the situation there in England. So a lot to talk about. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. I mean, obviously, the issue with Korea front and center. I want to play for you what the president said just last week on this time for strategic patience, which is kind of the Obama administration's view on this. Here's what he said, very clear.
The era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed. Many years, and it's failed. And frankly, that patience is over.
All right, I'm going to bring Skip Ash, Colonel Skip Ash and Colonel Wes Smith into the conversation, but I want to go, Jordan. There is the political side of this as well, because the president has to. We've got alliances, and as Skip's going to share in a moment, there's some very interesting intertwining here of who's on which team. I mean, it's very, very, because you got the Chinese, you got the Russians, and the Iranians.
Well, and it's not so much that the Chinese love the North Koreans. I mean, I think that needs to be clear. It's that they don't want to have to deal with the fallout of the North Korean regime falling apart, and then in the mass influx of people across borders. That is why Russia has basically set up a military line of defense, not because they're worried about North Korea firing upon them, but because they're worried that if that regime was to fall,
yeah,
because of U.S. action, which could happen, you know, very quickly,
right?
Mm-hmm. As we've seen before, that they would have such an influx of a humanitarian crisis.
Yeah.
That these are not countries that necessarily have the resources, Russia. And then the Chinese, to deal with that kind of humanitarian crisis.
So let's look at the military side here. Let me go to Skip first. Skip, you served in South Korea. You were right on the DMZ. Give us your impression of what's at play right now, and what are the president says the time for strategic patience is over. What does that leave us with?
Well, that means we have to take some action pretty quickly through the UN and unilaterally if we have to. And that is, we need to talk to our allies. We need to make sure that we cut off the connection between Iran and North Korea. These are two pariah states, and they deal with each other freely. We also have, that's where a lot of the money comes into North Korea, as they transfer technology, which is dangerous to Israel and ourselves, into the Middle East. We also have an interesting tie with Japan. There's a group of Koreans living in Japan that actually run a gambling syndicate where they make a lot of money, and that money is transferred by ship to the North Koreans once or twice a week. And that
the Japanese government knows this is going on?
They've known it's been going on for years, and they've tried to do that because they thought that would sort of limit some of the options. They would be more friendly toward Japan, knowing that they depended on Japan for money. So it's one of these strange bedfellows things with all these interconnecting concerns within the region.
Yeah, you're probably not getting that kind of conversation a lot of the other broadcasts you're listening to, but as I said, Skip served as a commander in the region. So you've got the Japanese, because the Japanese have to feel threatened, Skip, by the North Korea action, though, because it was aimed at the Sea of Japan.
Oh, definitely. In fact, the Japanese Congress or their parliament has begun to pass laws. You know, their constitution says they have to be, they can't militarize. They're now in the process of remilitarizing, which has to cause concern throughout the region, especially amongst the Chinese and the Koreans. Because of the past militarization.
All right, so Colonel Smith, let's talk about the significance of an ICBM, mm-hmm. intercontinental ballistic missile.
Right.
That was the first time they've been able to do that.
First time they've done that. They've had medium-range ballistic missiles, but this is an ICBM that was capable. It crashed about 580 miles into the Sea of Japan, but based on its trajectory and going into outer space and coming back in, reentry, which is required of an ICBM, they estimate that it could reach the entire state of Alaska.
Yeah.
And, of course, what is troubling about this, Jay, is not only that they have this technology, but you know, North Korea claims,
yep.
and our intelligence community does not believe the claim, but we don't know, they claim they have already miniaturized a thermonuclear weapon
yeah.
that they could place on this missile. So it's a crisis on so many levels. It's probably the greatest crisis that we have faced in the United States as far as our security goes. In several years.
Yeah, maybe decades. Jordan, you talked about, I want to take some calls. By the way, you're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to get your reaction to all this and how you see it playing out, and also what you want to communicate to your elected representatives on this. You said cut him off. This is the leader of North Korea. Cut him off from the rest of the world. Right now, he's enjoying pretty much a pass. These yeah. people are starving, and the military is starving, but he's not.
And his top elites, I mean, they're always... He could execute any of them at any time, but day to day, they live a lifestyle which is, again, it's luxurious in a country that is starving, and they continue to live that lifestyle. And so when he can have whatever he wants basically at his disposal, and his elite, and he can give that to his elites as well, that's why, you know, you see Pyongyang, yeah. now a lot of those buildings are empty, but you see the rest of the country. I mean, look at the maps of the electricity. There's basically that's the only city with electricity
yeah.
running all of the time. Yet he's able to prop that up because of the Chinese primarily. Now, that may work when they're not launching ICBMs.
Right.
But when they start doing that, you have to put the pressure on China to say, this regime needs to be starved out.
Yeah.
He needs to be able to not have access to food. He should not be able to feed his family, just like the rest of North Koreans who mm-hmm. can't feed their family. You do that, and things... May quiet
but
down
they do view him as a, I want everybody to understand
yeah.
they view him as a deity.
Right,
I mean, this is a third generational aspect. I want to go ahead and play a statement from Admiral Harry Harris, who is our U.S. Pacific Command head. It's very sobering. I mean, this is what he said.
All nations need to take this threat seriously because North Korea's missiles point in all directions. North Korea's capabilities are not yet an existential threat to America, but if left unchecked, it will eventually match the capability to hostile rhetoric.
So what the Admiral's saying is that their actions may actually reach the same as their rhetoric if they're left unchecked. So then it begs the question, which we'll get into, what do we do? What are the options that we have in the United States? We've got calls coming at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Michael, who is calling from California on line one. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to see the House Committee action yesterday to rescind the authorization for use of force. Wouldn't that be trying to limit President Trump's ability to move to fight anywhere without going through Congress?
So you're talking about the ability of the president to take military action, Skip, without an act of war?
If you have wars imminent under international law and under domestic law, the president's primary responsibility is to protect the people of the United States, and therefore he can take action in the face of imminent threat to the United States, and Congress in the past has followed up afterwards to make their statement about that. But he has an obligation as commander-in-chief to do what he deems necessary at the time to protect us, and that means he doesn't have to wait for a declaration of war or an authorization. It's always good, and those things need to happen. But if there's an emergency, he has the authority from the Constitution.
Are we, in your view, Skip, militarily, are we at the emergency stage yet, or are we getting very close? Where do you see it?
I think we're getting very close. I think we need to take strong diplomatic steps, and we need to see if the international community, especially Russia and China, if they're going to support us with a UN Security Council resolution that has real teeth in it. Then we'll know where we are.
So the Security Council's meeting today, you know, China, as you pointed out before we went on air, Wes, China's chairing it. And you're also pointing out in your comments that yesterday's missile was fired from a mobile launcher, making it more difficult to predict and to counter. It was a Chinese-made truck mobile launcher that was used.
Yes.
So what are the chances of the Chinese engaging at the UN here, in your view?
I think that that's not likely to happen at all. Of course, the presidency of the Security Council rotates month by month. This just happens to be China's month. We were the president last month. China's rhetoric and their offers of help, I think, are pretty hollow.
The president's kind of figuring. The president sees that too right now.
The president tweeted this morning that trade in the first quarter of this year between North Korea and China went up 40%.
So those of you that are thinking that we just put pressure on China and that'll stop it, that does not appear to be the case.
That is not a viable option.
I mean, if they would actually do it, it might.
Right. The real key, short of military action, I think, is to somehow unite and galvanize the entire international community other than Russia and China. And as Jordan said, I mean, really isolate economically North Korea.
But let's talk about this, Jordan, the Iran connection here. And Skip, I want to go back to you on this. I mean, Iran's right in the middle of this.
Oh, that's right. I mean, they're kind of taking the technology they have, which they get from places like Russia now.
Yep.
Their missile systems, their missile defense systems, the ICBMs, the capabilities. They're exporting it to a regime. Now, you think about it like this. North Korea, with all of the sanctions against it, the fact they can't even feed their own people, how are they able to afford? Because, you know, with the Russians, they're not doing this for free, or the Iranians are not doing this for free. They're getting paid for this. So how are they able to spend this money? Where is that money coming from? And it's coming from the Chinese primarily, who are then giving the money to North Korea, and then North Korea is doing business with these countries.
Then, Skip, you said the Japanese government is aware of this gambling ring that's funding millions and maybe billions of dollars, and they're letting it go.
Well, they were. Again, they were trying to make sure that they stayed on the right side of the North Koreans. But I'd like to go back just to this Iranian connection again. Remember, many of the missiles that the Iranians are firing and testing, we can see that they are virtual clones of North Korean-developed missiles. So I think that's the North Koreans are getting oil, which they need from the Iranians in turn for transferring military technology, which seems to be the only thing that the North Koreans can do well.
We are giving you a full analysis on this, and we've got a lot more. So we'll take calls and comments when we come back from the break, Logan.
That's right. Give us a call. A couple lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. You can get your comments in as well on social media. We'll take some of those during the break. Also, exclusive videos coming up in breaks later on in the show. But again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard.
All right, we'll take more of your calls, as Logan said. We do have a couple lines open at 800-684-3110. We're also going to get into a little discussion on the situation with Charlie Gard, but we're going to stay right on this situation with North Korea. It is a very, very dangerous situation. We're giving you analysis. I don't believe you're going to find anyplace else. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back. Well, all attention on the situation in North Korea. The president en route to Poland, where he's going to give a major speech in Warsaw, and then off to the G20. We'll have meetings, including a meeting with Vladimir Putin. I'm sure also discussions with the Chinese on the situation with North Korea. We are going to talk about the situation with Charlie Gard. He is the 11-month-old British baby that who suffers from a very serious life-threatening disease. Parents want to get him help, including in the United States or even at the Vatican Hospital. And the British authorities are just saying no. We're going to get to that in the next half hour of the broadcast. So, Logan, let everybody know that's listening to the radio broadcast so they don't get the full hour, which a lot of stations do now, what they can do to get that. But we are going to bring that up in the second half hour.
Yeah, you can join us online. We broadcast if you don't get us in station or you don't get us on SiriusXM or your local station. You can find us on social media or at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org, as soon as you go there, you'll see a live video running. Or you can go on to Facebook and Periscope where you can interact, get your comments in. We take some of those on the air. It's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow, and you get to watch us and talk to us.
All right. Also, let me just say this, that as we talk about the situation with North Korea, the Russia-China statement yesterday offering to mediate and suggesting that North Korea could stop nuclear research in exchange for U.S. To stop conducting defensive drills with South Korea and Japan. Skip, your reaction to that statement coming from the Russia and the Chinese.
I think it's ridiculous because nothing's going to stop the North Koreans from doing what they want. They'll do it in secret. They don't mind lying to the international community. They've already made all these agreements not to do what they're doing. So it doesn't matter. And we should not trust the word of the North Koreans or the Chinese and Russians.
And not only that, Jay, Japan and South Korea, for decades, they depend on the U.S. to defend them. And those drills and exercises that we do are defensive exercises. If we were to agree to this China-Russia suggestion and quit doing those in exchange for promises that North Korea will break immediately, it would totally change the balance of power in the Pacific realm. And Japan and South Korea would feel abandoned by us.
Yeah.
We are their protection.
So I want to ask we got a lot of calls and we're going to get to those in a moment. The political consequence of this, and Logan, let's also get some comments coming on Facebook and Periscope. We'll take some calls as well, but go ahead.
I would say an action with North Korea would be more serious than sending 50,000 troops to fight ISIS. Seriously.
Yeah.
The ramifications. You could do that. Our troops would be in harm's way. There would be casualties. But the international response, you know, ISIS doesn't have the capabilities to fire upon. You take the Assad regime out in two minutes if you wanted to.
Right.
This is not like that. This is, you've got millions of people within small arms range, artillery, so civilians, plus our troops, plus two other major world powers who are not necessarily on board with all of our decisions usually, Russia and China. So you'd have to have a lot of buy-in. From the South Korean people would basically have to be willing to live in a kind of like the UK under the Blitzkrieg for a period of time to take this regime out. And you can't really take that action until you've got the buy-in from the people of South Korea.
All right, we'll take a call in a moment, but let me go right back to Skip Ash. Skip, you served there, so tell me where do you see it from the perspective of the South Koreans? What do they want to see happen? What's in their best interest? How does that work?
I think they want to avoid war at all costs. But I would say this. Remember, they have a new president, and the new president immediately stopped the United States from being able to bring in the Theater High Altitude Air Defense System for some reason. And we were already putting that in there. So we have some disagreements even with our ally in South Korea.
Yeah.
So, and that's a democratic system, so they have to go through the machinations that we do, whereas the North Koreans don't.
The difference, though, and I think that what has to be pointed out, is that as a country, as the U.S., once they have this capability to fire upon us, South Korea depends completely on us for their defense. We get to make the call at the end of the day.
Right.
I mean, they may not like it, and as Skip said, they may not let us put in some of the defense systems, but we could take out this regime at a moment's notice once they are a threat to us directly. Not just our troops who are in South Korea, not just the South Koreans, but to us directly. And if they have the ability to fire a ICBM into the United States, whether that's Hawaii, whether that's Alaska, whether that's California, then it doesn't – if you are – remember, the president's first job is not to protect South Korea. Mm-hmm. The president's first job as commander-in-chief is to protect us.
And that was a missile that you served in South Korea as well.
Absolutely, yes. As a matter of fact, I was actually stationed at the place where yesterday the United States did their show of force with the anti-missile missiles. Yeah, and when I was living there, there was a lot of animosity still from between Japan and South Korea because of all the atrocities and what have you. But at the same time, what I discovered when I lived there is that the South Koreans and the Japanese are united in two areas: their complete, you know, allegiance and dependency upon the United States of America, and their fear of North Korea. They realize that there is a threat north of the DMZ, and they live with that threat every day.
So, Skip, you were there as well. Do you think do the South Koreans understand the nature of, I'm sure the government does, of what's going on right now?
I think they do, but they're looking for a way out that will preclude any type of belligerency.
Right. Yep.
And I don't disagree with that, but the options are getting fewer and fewer North Korea gets stronger.
Let's take some calls. We got a lot of calls coming in.
Yeah, a lot of people have been holding for a while. Let's go. Let's take some of those. Dave is calling in California on line 5.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing? I just had a comment. I agreed with your guest and all that about North Korea, I think they're kind of, I don't know how you say it, for lack of a better word, working for China anyway. I think China's just letting them do what they want to do. And all this testing is to benefit them because they would have already cut them off on everything.
Right. I think what the president said in his latest statement is that the trade between China and North Korea grew almost 40% in the first quarter. So much for China working with us, but we had to give it a try. There you go. I mean, I think that kind of Jordan sums it all up. I think that does not mean the Chinese cannot be pressured again. And believe me, the threats that they have will be significant in that regard.
Yes. I mean, the Chinese rely a lot on us. We allow them to get away with this currency
manipulation.
Yep. And they again, another regime which is kind of like in the middle between capitalist and human rights abusers. So not as bad as the North Koreans, but certainly they also have a mostly what they call peasant population, which is starving.
Words. Yeah.
But is still Maoist. I mean, so they have that same kind of issue there where if you actually get outside of the major cities, the Beijings, the Shanghais, you still have hardcore communist farmers, basically, in this community, in the rural areas. So they again, they're not going to do anything out of goodwill. It's only going to come from pressure from the United States. But I go back to this: at the end of the day, if they really do have the capability to hit us with an ICBM, to hit us with an ICBM, then the job of the commander in chief. Yes, you have to worry about South Korea. Yes, you have to worry about our troops there. But you don't have to worry about the Russian border, the Chinese border, because now they're a threat to us, and his job is to protect Americans, not the Russians or the Chinese or the South Koreans.
Yep.
This is a dire situation, too, very dire. And ultimately, unless the international community can really come together and isolate North Korea, what's going to happen, Jay, is we will be faced with a binary choice, either ultimately military action or allowing North Korea to have nuclear weapons.
Yeah, we're going to get more in this conversation. Obviously, there's a lot more to discuss. Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast if you're not getting it on your radio station. And you can also get to us on Facebook and, of course, Periscope.
That's right. You can give us a call if you want to be in the line, but there's only one line open, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting, as I said earlier in the segment, online at aclj.org. You just go there. You'll see immediately we'll open up with our live feed going on right now. Or you can find us at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Download the ACLJ app in the App Store. You can also find the Jay Sekulow Live podcast available in wherever you get your podcasts, in iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, in the podcast app. You can find everything you need also, though, at aclj.org. We'll be right back with more of Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
We'll fight for the right to live in. Headline in the Wall Street Journal, U.S. tells North Korea it's prepared to go to war. The president sent out a series of statements via Twitter where he said North Korea has just launched another missile. Does this guy have anything better to do with his life? Hard to believe South Korea and Japan will put up with this much longer. Perhaps China will pay a heavy, put a heavy move on North Korea and end this nonsense. That was the day before July 4th. That was on Monday. Yesterday, the president said, or this morning actually, that trade between China and North Korea grew almost 40% in the first quarter. So much for China working with us, but we had to give it a try. Joining us is our two senior military analysts, Colonel Wes Smith and Colonel Skip Ash. Let me go ahead, though, and we got to go right to the phones because a lot of people have been holding. A little bit later in the broadcast, we're going to talk about the Charlie Gard situation over in Great Britain, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's go ahead and take another call here, Logan.
Let's go to David in Pasadena on line four.
Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, Jay.
Hey.
Can you touch on the significance of Obama's recent trip to South Korea in his statement concerning last opportunity? And last note on that, and lastly, how close do you think the world is ready to embrace a regional peace leader?
And well, I think here's the situation. I think President Obama, his policy was strategic patience. President Trump said the time for strategic patience is over because strategic patience has not worked. In fact, what's happened is it's emboldened this regime. I mean, we're seeing that with this is a launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile, an ICBM. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it's not. These are not small arms. These are not short-range missiles. This would be the kind of weapon that could carry a nuclear device. And when you have that and it was successful, they have not been very successful. In the past, when they've tried this, it's been complete failures. So
yeah.
you've kind of said, okay, whether that was done by the U.S., but obviously we're not able technologically or we weren't able to sabotage this one. If we were sabotaging them in the past or our allies were in the past, something has changed there. And I think what to a point has changed is that you have a regime now which is much more, in a sense, long-term suicidal.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
But they also view him as a deity. We've said that a couple of times.
And he views himself
as a deity.
They buy into it. So you buy into it that you are God, and the people around you buy in that you are God. You act in a way that, I mean, again, you look at in history those kind of individuals. That's different than even the Ayatollah.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
the
yeah.
Ayatollah in Iran does not consider himself a deity. He is a strong religious leader, more like a bad pope, if you will, you know, an evil kind of pope leader, but he does not see himself as God. This guy sees himself as God, and
well,
so
the difference between
people.
An Ayatollah is they believe that they're the lead cleric for their particular faith, and they're dangerous because they've merged their political might with all of that. So yes. This is a whole different ballgame. This is someone that believes that they are actually the deity themselves, and those around them do, and a lot of their population does.
Right.
So this is. So let's talk about the what do you do in this situation? Because you quickly at the end there, you're talking about this binary choice, yeah. Colonel Smith, and I want to get Skip's comment on it too.
Yeah.
You're talking about this binary choice.
There are literally, Jay, no good options. We can try economic sanctions in the past. They literally have not worked because we have not had a lot of international buy-in. The only other option, as I see it, other than trying to cut them off economically and bring them to their knees, is military action. The other thing about this, Jay, is the second and third order effects of this crisis are tremendous. For example, part of the income stream of North Korea is they sell their missile technology. They have now developed a successful ICBM, and one of their main partners that they sell the technology to is Iran.
Yep.
And so the second and third order effects are dire. Unless we take action.
So, Skip, the question, of course, what is that action? I mean, a military conflict in that region would be explosive, to say the least. Now, the president's obligation under the Constitution is to protect the citizens of the United States. If they develop this capacity, as they've already tested, to put a nuclear weapon on an ICBM that could reach the United States, Skip, that is a game-changing moment in this whole paradigm. But we only got 30 seconds here. Let me, Skip, you hang on. We'll get the thought when we come back from the break. Obviously, there's a lot to go on this. Logan, we'll take more calls and comments. We have one phone line and two phone lines open, so we can get some calls. We'll also talk about the Charlie Gard situation as well.
1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. Like you said, two lines are open, and we'll take some comments in the break. We also have exclusive video coming up on the situation in North Korea. That'll come up if you're watching. So if you're watching us, not if you're listening, but if you're watching online, which you should be, ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. Be right back with more on JSEC Hill Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, I'm going to go right to Skip Ash. Colonel Skip Ash, retired United States Army, also stationed. Both Colonel Smith and Colonel Ash were both stationed in South Korea. But, Skip, let's talk. Wes mentioned this binary choice. I mean, you're the president of the United States. The situation as it is right now, what would you do where the status quo is right now? And then what if this escalates? What would we do? What would you recommend?
I think we have to do a number of things simultaneously. We have to have a more aggressive foreign policy, go after those nations that are friendly with North Korea, but also receive aid from us. We need to pressure them to downgrade relations or to cut them altogether. We have friends. We have the British, the French, others who have diplomatic relations. They should at least reduce their diplomatic relations. At the same time, we can move military forces in. But let's keep in mind that there's a perverse logic here on the North Koreans. Starting with the Clinton administration, they rattled their sabers. Everybody backed off and gave them aid. So this is just the increasing of that to continue to blackmail the Western communities, the Americas and the Frances and the British and everything else, make us nervous so we'll pay them off.
Here's the question that I would ask you as a military advisor. So if you're the president, you got to make this decision. Based on what they've done so far, what would your response be? Is that what it would be, more of the economic sanctions, diplomacy as it is right now?
I would do both. I would have at least a show of force with some saber rattling. You know, we have aircraft carriers. We can move them back into the region. We can have more flybys by certain types of bombers. We can fly satellites. They can definitely have satellites sitting over North Korea, watching what they do. We could even fly drones. We have drones now that are relatively incapable of being seen from the ground, and we should fly them over. And some of them can even engage if we had to, and perhaps we need to consider some of that. But obviously, we always have to consider the implications if we take military action,
both regionally and globally. I mean, there are regional complications and global. Yeah,
there's also. Right. I mean, I've read a lot about this. They basically operate a terror cell network throughout both in Asia, but also spread out throughout the world. There are individuals who are waiting to operate, who they have threatened, you know, abductions of Americans, but to even carry out kind of terrorist attacks. So I think we'd have to be prepared, as well as our allies, that if you took any kind of actual, you know, engagement, military engagement, not just testing, but if you and not just putting, you know, your boats there, but they operate an international network of terrorists who are ready to act, who are paid to that regime to act. Now, they do a lot of kidnappings and things like that in that region of the world. But we also, I think, because of the lack of intelligence insight. Obviously, there's a lack to an extent that they could, again, open up on the world in a way that, again, it's not like necessarily launching full-scale war against the rest of the world in the sense of like a Cold War situation, but terrorist kind of attacks. They do operate a terrorist cell network internationally around the world.
Well, let's take it. I want to take a call here, Logan. Let's get a call ready. But Wes, you know, you talked about that binary choice, but that's a very difficult binary choice.
Very difficult. One that we do not want. It probably is going to happen. We're at a watershed moment, Jay.
I don't know if people understand how serious this is. Really, really serious, folks. I mean, this is a threat that could impact the United States of America, will impact the United States of America if we don't take the appropriate actions.
We will look back years from now on how we responded to this, and it makes a difference for the security of the world as well as the United States. Yeah. So what happens now is, you know, you try to avoid military conflict. As Skip said, you really press the economic sanctions. I think they understand the threat of force, North Korea does. I think we should send in more aircraft to Osan Air Base. We should send another division or another combat brigade to join 2nd Infantry Division in Korea, build up our military force, put more Navy off the coast.
This G20 meeting for the president is unbelievably significant. You've got the Russians and the Chinese will be there. The impact of this could be, it's clearly significant. It's been ratcheted up by the actions of the North Korean regime, and they're trying to basically, you know, you don't want to be baited here, but you got to take the right defensive measures and have a right game plan in place, because the fact is this is a serious, serious threat. All right, Logan, let's grab a call here.
Let's go to Rose in Pennsylvania on line 3. Rose, you're on the air.
Hi, Rose, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Jay and team, thank you for all you
do.
My question is this. My son is on the USS Nimitz, CVN-68.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he's where the trouble is. I don't know exactly.
Yep.
Will North Korea strike our ships? I know we have a lot of forces out there. Of course, the New York Times is saying the military options could be more grim than ever, which has me pretty worked up, but will they try to attack our ships?
So, Skip, that would be an act. I mean, if they were, look, they've launched an ICBM. That's an act of provocation. Attacking a U.S. Military vessel, a Navy ship, in international waterways would be an act of war.
Absolutely.
And at that point, they would be the North Korean regime could be flattened, frankly. I mean, that would be a major, major escalation if they were to go after a U.S. naval vessel in international waterways. Skip?
Oh, that's exactly right. The problem is that they're also watching how the Iranians have been baiting us in the Persian Gulf. And remember, to them, if we don't respond in a way that's meaningful to them, then it looks like weakness. And that's the danger here. They're going to miscalculate and do something that they will regret later.
Well, and they're not rational, Jay.
Right.
In the past, they have attacked American ships. They've captured an American ship. Last year, they sunk a South Korean submarine. And just 3 months ago, they tested their newly developed anti-ship missile, North Korea did.
But, Jordan, if you look at an act of provocation, violation of international law, of course, is an act of war. To attack a naval vessel, although the Iranians, remember, they captured a naval vessel and humiliated our troops. And there was no response from the Obama administration on this. This administration is not going to let that happen. But that would be, they would have, at that point, they have escalated this up to a point where they have put themselves on the precipice of a war.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so, and against a power that ultimately we win. We win, and they are all dead.
And the Chinese will still have to do business with us because they have no choice.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Russians.
And so will the Russians, and so will
the Iranians know we're remaining business.
I'm not so worried about the impact this has on the Chinese or the Russians because they're not so great to us.
Right.
Their governments. it's more the impact it has on our allies in South Korea. But as Wes was discussing and Skip is discussing, they are basically trying to push the U.S. off from taking action. Even though this is a huge threat to them, I think that we would have to basically make the decision, obviously in consultation with them to some extent, but you take the regime out. The question is, how loyal is that military once you take out, let's say you take out Pyongyang, basically like you did Baghdad. Are they the troops that basically give up once their leader is gone? Or are they so loyal that you've got millions of troops, one of the largest standing armies in the world, who are willing to all go out basically as suicide military operations until they've carried out thousands upon thousands of casualties. That is the difference. Are they the Iraqi military, which they're more loyal than that. They are more loyal than that because they are even worsely treated.
Yeah.
Dwayne had a comment, and we've kind of covered it, but I think we could talk about it. He said, Jay, why don't we take out all the missile systems? Is that even feasible?
So the feasibility, Skip, of a strategic attack on missile systems, now they're portable. That makes it much more difficult.
That's right, and not just that. That would be an act of war on our part, and which would probably trigger a conventional war against the South. So they're using that as a way of trying to rein us in.
Yeah. All right, let's grab another call here, and we'll take some more calls during the next segment.
All right, let's go to Raj in Virginia on line 2. You're on the air.
Hi, Raj. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Very good. The analyses and the way to go forward by both the colonels and by you, Jay, and all your good people, outstanding. I'm talking about what steps we can take preemptively now.
Yeah.
And I was terribly disturbed by a recent radio report I heard that Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia's Lynn District, he said that since the sticks aren't working, let's try carrots.
Well, we got only a minute and 40 seconds here, but I want to go into the last segment here. Skip, concrete, where we are right now, view of the President of the United States, you're going to the G20. What are you telling the Russians and the Chinese? That's where this is.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them how serious it is viewed by the United States, and the United States views it as a potential existential threat if it continues to develop, that these people are on their borders. If we happen to take significant military action, they cannot emerge untouched, and therefore we would all rather avoid conflict, and we need your help, and what are you going to give us, and it's got to be serious.
So this G20 meeting, folks, is the significance of this is very, very much front and center for the president and for Jordan. As you said, his primary interest is protecting the interests of the United States.
You deal with regimes that annex other, independent countries like Crimea. At a certain point, you say, you don't do this, we will take action, we don't care what you say. And you will then have to deal with more consequences than us.
Because militarily, they can't beat us.
Right.
None of these countries can.
Right. No.
So we could take action that has a really negative effect on China and Russia if they don't get this solved.
All right. We got a couple lines open now. Three lines open. 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice heard today, as we head into the last segment, we take as many calls as possible. So this is your opportunity once again. And I'll say it slower. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard on Jay Sekulow Live today as we head into this last segment. You can still get your comments in on social media. We'll take some of those. And again, I'll give it one last time. 1-800-684-3110.
We're also giving you an update on the Charlie Gard situation out of Great Britain, but more also on the situation in Korea. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Thank you for your support.
I want to take just a moment, because we mentioned this at the beginning of the broadcast, that the our thoughts and prayers with the family of Charlie Gard. The president sent out a tweet on July 3rd saying if we can help little hashtag Charlie Gard, as per our friends in the UK and the Pope, we would be delighted to do so. The Pope has also offered the ability to have the hospital in the Vatican take care of Charlie Gard. They've offered that, and there's hospitals in the United States that are offering care for Charlie Gard. Unfortunately, right now, the British just will not let the parents' wishes take place. I don't know why they will not let the parents' wishes here. The parents aren't asking the British to do anything that is not within normal authority for a parent to say to how they want their child. He's suffering from a horrible disease. There's no question about that. But the parents want to do everything they humanly can to try to help their child, and that's what normally parents would do. But this is the situation that it's in right now, and we've been working on it. We've been talked a lot about it, obviously, but I will tell you over the entire weekend, we have been working on it and looking at various options. The European Court of Human Rights is complete with that. They back the hospital and the UK. Boris Johnson, the foreign secretary, said that they are not going to let this child out, but they are really digging their heels in on this.
Yeah, I mean, so he's told Boris Johnson is the foreign minister of the UK, part of the Conservative Party's governor, former mayor of London. I think people you know him from his hair.
And
kind of flamboyant. So I think you know who we're talking about. But he's basically told his Italian counterpart
that they
cannot do it under their law, though that's not
true. But let me say something on that legal thing.
Yeah.
The order is permissive, not directive. It's not saying you must do this. It's saying you can do this.
Yeah.
In other words, you can end the child's life. It doesn't say you have to end the child's life. And that's where it's over. Go ahead, Logan.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
and the hospital's done treating. They even though they've said that they're specialists in this, they are no longer trying to do anything to help this 10-month-old. That's done there. But Theresa May did say something different when she was cross-examined. So there may be a disagreement there. She said, "We will consider any offers of new information that's come forward with consideration." So that's why you don't stop until this is over.
Yeah,
and they've raised over $1.5 million.
Yeah.
A £1 million. So I mean, it's not like they don't have the funds to do it. So at this point, just bad publicity almost coming in from the British government. Why would they do it?
Vatican or the U.S. would do this.
They're doubling down on this, though.
This is one thing that you can tell. It's definitely uniquely American. This is what the call's about. Where even we've had now the Pope, we've had the president, and we've had Cher put out a big thing this morning. So people from all walks of life.
What did Cher say? I'm curious.
Fully supportive of this.
Yeah,
this isn't
a right left issue.
This is not your decision, government, to decide when your child's life is ended. So I think that's interesting to see. This is one of the few unifying things, especially in America, where you don't see any backlash. There are very few people on the side of the British government at this point. Let's go. Let's take a call about that. Gerard, who is calling from, I believe, from Maryland on line 6, wants to talk about that. You're on the air.
Hi, Gerard.
Man, it's great talking to you. I want to let you know I'm going to send you money to support your effort. Today I'm going to send you money. With regard to Charlie Gard, I believe that the world would do well to take note that as nations move more and more toward demagoguery and perhaps even, communism like we have over in North Korea, that nation will become less compassionate with regard to innocent human life.
Well, look, I mean, I'm going to go to Harry Hutchinson, Professor Hutchinson, because he's lived in England for a number of years and is very familiar with the situation there. What do you think's at play here? They have really dug their heels in the Brits.
Absolutely, Jay. I think this heartbreaking case raises one simple question, which is, can President Trump, can the Pope help Charlie Gard? Or will progressive elites and progressive bureaucrats get their wish and allow Charlie to die? And this debate, this question, has real implications for repealing and overhauling healthcare in the United States. Because many of the people who created Obamacare in the first instance share the same conviction that the progressive elites in Great Britain share, which is at some point humans have a right, let me rephrase that, society has a right to tell you when to die.
So here's the great question, though. I mean, because I was watching this play out over the weekend, obviously we were working on it,
But I don't see a lot, even on the left, coming out saying, oh, the British are right, let them do this. I mean, no, very little support.
Very little, like I said, you're having...
But they're doubling down.
You even have... Most of my friends that are British who are English are can't believe that they're doing this. Even, like I said, from a publicity standpoint, at this point, you'd think you'd just say, okay, it doesn't cost us anything. And yes, the odds are not good for this child. It's not like we're saying that hopefully, I mean, God, Lord willing, that something will work. But like you said, you want to try everything you can.
But the parents want the
solace
of saying...
that's all it is. It's just saying you tried everything you can. And if you're willing to do it, the Americans are willing to do it. The British should be willing to do it.
The Pope's willing to do it. Why? This is what is so incomprehensible to me here. It's not incomprehensible. I understand the agenda. But the Brits here could have had an easy resolution. And they could have said, you know what? We don't think this is in the best interest of the child to allow this, but the parents are ultimately responsible. Yeah. Let the parents decide. They want to do this. There's help being offered in facilities in the United States and in Italy. I mean, I think even the French came forward over the weekend saying they could help.
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
So there's a consensus out there favoring the right to life. That consensus, though, is not necessarily shared by elites. So they are implicitly suggesting that at some point, life has to end. So if you look at Zeke Emanuel, who helped create Obamacare, he publicly has stated that at some point he needs to leave the scene. No matter how healthy he is, no matter how much he would like to see his grandchildren or great-grandchildren, this idea is endemic, I think, in British society, particularly among elites and bureaucrats.
But why, and I asked this question, Jordan, on the political side for the Brits. What, they're doubling down on this. I mean, what benefit is that to them?
None. I mean, I don't see any benefit except for when you have a government that controls healthcare, they want to say that they have the final say, that, you know, this, they provide free healthcare for all. There are private hospitals there. This family, obviously, now with the funds they could raise, could probably even utilize that. Right. But they are literally not letting the parents decide to, you know, medevac a child to take that, you know, 15%, 10% chance that something can be done. This is the idea of death panels that we were talking about with the problem of government-run healthcare, that you have to ration care, that you don't, when there's a 10% chance, it's not worth it to the overall system. I don't think they want to allow that to be the precedent.
Let's get
Michael's
phone call.
I know this is off topic. Michael, you've been holding 40 minutes. I want to
get
your comments.
You're on the air. Michael, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I now have a bunch of stuff, a bunch of ideas about Charlie Gard. But back to the North Korea situation.
Sure.
I would say that the time for diplomatic solution is absolutely over. We've got the DPRK is basically a state-level version of ISIS. They're clearly getting covert help from China. Covert help from Iran.
Yep.
And all of our strategies up until now have clearly failed. And all they've done is serve to allow North Korea to cover up.
Here's what we're going to do on this, Michael. Look, you never want to say diplomatic resolutions are over because the alternative is military action. And diplomacy can be war without violence. Remember that famous quote by Benjamin Disraeli. Diplomacy can be war without violence. We've got a lot of diplomatic angles we've got here. And the president's going to the G20, probably the most important G20 meeting of our lifetime. So obviously we'll have a lot more on this tomorrow. And as news develops, we will break in as it does. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged with us on multiple levels for the rest of the day and throughout the week.
That's right. Keep watching us on social media, facebook.com/jseculo. Follow us all on Twitter. You can also find everything you need at aclj.org. Subscribe to the J Seculi podcast. Download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store. I'll be right back tomorrow for more J Seculi Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ.